Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Hey, we're back. It is 6:20 on a Monday evening here in Lansing. Michael Cohen here, 1320 WILS. Well, the former Michigan State University medical student Andrew Thompson today pleading guilty to killing 12 dogs. He now faces a maximum of 4 years in prison and a fine of $5,000 for each of the dogs he killed. To get some reaction from someone who's all too familiar with animal abuse, I'm joined by Jamie McAloon-Lampman. She's the director of the Ingham County Animal Control and Shelter. Jamie, thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
So how closely did you follow this case? Did it strike you as especially unusual, even in the realm of animal abuse?
Well, this is a case that we had investigated and brought to the prosecutor for the charges. It was probably one of the worst cases as far as what happened with the animals and the reasons behind it, which we still don't know.
I mean, these are these small greyhound dogs, right? Aren't they the most gentle dogs that really exist?
Well, yeah, no, they were little tiny Italian greyhounds, and they were puppies. So, they're probably 2 to 3 pound animals to begin with, and they were all puppies that were the victims.
Now, did you interact directly then with Mr. Thompson?
Our officers did. I had some access to some of the witnesses, which I interviewed.
I see. And what was his, what was he like? Did he know that what he did was completely insane and horrible, or did he somehow explain and justify it?
Well, his interview was with two of our officers when he discussed it, but as far as I'd never had direct contact with him other than being in the court during his arraignment and his trials. But, I think he's fully aware. I mean, he's a very, from what we gathered, very intelligent, very gregarious individual. He definitely, he's very intelligent. He's a medical student. He knew what he was doing.
Can you give us any insight as to the reason why this happened?
No, I cannot. I think that definitely there needs to be some sort of counseling, some therapy. However, do I think that would help? I don't know. This is so extreme. I don't know that this is a salvageable situation when someone does this, because the acts were not only progressing, but the frequency was shorter and shorter each time. I mean, it went from gaps of weeks and months to all of a sudden now it was every week an animal was being killed. So I think there's a lot going on that needs to be addressed with this individual, but that's not my call by any means. But certainly we want to make sure that he's made accountable for what he did with these dogs.
How was that concluded that he actually killed 12 dogs?
Pardon?
How did you find out that it was 12, that was the number of dogs that he killed?
Well, no, we have it for 11 dogs.
I see. How did you get that number, though? Was there a record of him purchasing each of these animals?
Or? Yes. We have financial records for the purchase of those animals. And then there was a charge, of course, for the last dog, which did not die. We got that dog just in time. And we rushed it to a veterinarian where it was treated. And that dog now has been adopted by that veterinarian that did the treatment of that dog. But that dog was within probably an hour of dying had we not been there for that search warrant to get that dog out of there.
I'm talking to Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the director of Ingham County Animal Control and the Shelter. Well, Jamie, if animals could only talk, we'd probably be able to confront this problem more directly. How difficult is it to really figure out when there is animal abuse occurring?
Well, in this case, I mean, people were aware of this a long time ago, which is kind of sad because, we didn't have to wait till we got up to number 11, and we could have stopped this a lot sooner had we been notified. So I think when people suspect that there's something wrong going on, they need to contact the authorities. And if they feel that something is not being done and this continues, then they need to go a step higher even. But we really want people to be, on the lookout for signs of just not animal cruelty, but neglect. Cruelty is difficult to prove sometimes because you have to have the act there. Whereas the neglect is usually you can see the victim and you can pretty much prove the case based on the condition of the animal. I mean, just today alone, we impounded 2 dogs, and one had an ingrown harness in so tightly in the body it had grown into it. You know, that's something that we can see, and we can pretty much go ahead with the charges on that. But somebody who kicks or beats an animal, we need a witness to things like that. And in this case, it's my understanding there were witnesses.
I see, but
long time ago.
In terms of his demeanor and the way he behaved towards human beings, you're saying that there wasn't any sign there in terms of his behavior towards other people, let's say, that he was this kind of an abusive person.
No, we never got any indication that he was a danger to people. No, we didn't. But, you know, I mean, people, of course, you know, are reading about this, and there's a natural progression towards human violence as well. And there's plenty of research and studies on that as well. But in this case, I do not believe that there's evidence to that yet.
What's an appropriate deterrent, do you think, to this kind of behavior? Do you think the penalties are harsh enough? Should there be a longer prison sentence that people face?
Well, in this case, boy, I'll tell you what, somebody that would do that, you know, that would take the time to, you know, seek out the dogs, spend the money to buy it, and they weren't cheap, they were expensive dogs, arrange for the flight for them to get here, make the plans to go to the airport, pick them up, only to, you know, abuse and kill them. I mean, that really speaks to some real, just heinous behavior. So, do I think 4 years in prison is adequate? No. But I don't know what the answer is. In this case, I respect the law, and the law dictates that this person, most he's going to get, is 4 years if the judge wants to give him 4 years. There's another one there. And then the $5,000 fine. He should pay restitution. He should not be allowed to have animals for the rest of his life, but he will be allowed to have animals, I'm sure, right after his probation is over if he gets 4 years. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know what sentencing would be adequate for an individual who does this. I just don't.
Other stories here in Lansing that certainly got media attention were these situations where dogs were beaten and left to die out in the cold in the past year or so. Are these kinds of things relatively rare in the county?
No. Unfortunately, no. That is a sad fact that is not rare at all. I mean, we'll see that on a weekly basis at least. You know, animals abandoned, animals neglected, animals left on a chain that we find dead inside their doghouse where they starved to death or froze to death, or were left without water when the heat comes. So that, unfortunately, is not uncommon. And so that's why it's important that people are calling and letting us know that there's a dog that looks at risk. It's thin. It's being left for 2 days without water on an 80-degree day. It's out there freezing with no dog.
What happens if someone wants to see something that they're suspicious, but they don't necessarily want to raise too much of a conflict with? I mean, what happens when you get a call? Do you go knock on the door? Do you go inside the home? How do you approach it?
Well, it depends on what the call is. We have a tip line, so we do get a lot of anonymous tips. So they can call our tip line. They don't have to tell us who they are. They don't have to tell us anything. Just give us a description of the dog and where it's located and what's going on.
And you'll go out and take a look. What is that number?
Yep. It is 517-676-8376. And they can just leave the information on that line. But if we get a call, we call them a welfare call. So we get a welfare call. We send an officer out. He's going to look for the dog. He's going to want to be able to, you know, lay hands on that dog, not just look over the fence and see that it's okay. They've got to go over there and lay hands on it, because if they've got long fur, they can be a rack of bone, but yet from 10 feet away look just fine with a heavy fur coat on. So we really, you know, we really do have to get close enough to that dog to be able to tell, is it really at risk? What's going on?
Do you have the right to take the dog away immediately if there's a clear sign that something's wrong?
If the animal is clearly at risk, if the animal is possibly not going to make it, because if we don't intervene, yes. But in most cases, we will have to get a search warrant if it's not clear enough. If we suspect and we've got good information, then we will try to get a search warrant to get us on that property. But in the state of Michigan, we can enter the property just because they don't have a license on their dog.
I see.
You've got to have a license on your dog. So that licensing law is very helpful in helping to rescue dogs that are really in distress.
Jamie McAloon-Lampman, Director of Ingham County Animal Control and Shelter. That anonymous number again, 517-676-8376, if you suspect an animal is being abused. Jamie, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And we'll be right back to talk about drones. They're used at war, but they're about to start being used here in the U.S. Could be right on top of your home. That's next, 1320 WILS.